The Jergens Journal, featuring Walter Winchell, America's one-man newspaper. His famous column appears in the New York Daily Mirror and more than 820 other newspapers. Walter Winchell is brought to you by Jergens, the lotion for soft, smooth, romantic hands. Do you do this? Do you take care to keep your hands nice and smooth, but forget about your elbows? Of course you don't see your own elbows, but other people do. So every night, pour a little Jergens lotion in the cup of your hand and rub your elbows round and round in it. Scaly, rusty elbows soon look creamy, velvety, and young, the way your hands do when you care for them faithfully with Jergens lotion. It takes only a second or two. Jergens leaves no stickiness. So help keep your elbows good-looking, too, with Jergens lotion. And now to the editorial room of the Jergens Journal and Walter Winchell.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. North and South America, all the ships at sea. Let's go to press. Flash. Bern, Switzerland. An unconfirmed report states that Italy is on the verge of civil war. The King and Marshal Badoglio are reported safe in southern Italy. London. The commander-in-chief of the Italian fleet was killed on Friday when the German bombers destroyed the dreadnought Roma. Washington, D.C. Military observers in the capital express the belief tonight that Mussolini's reported rescue by the Nazis is a fishing expedition on the part of the Germans to find out just where the Duce is. Marchfield, California. Richard C. DuPont of the DuPont family of Delaware was one of four glider pilots killed in a crash today. Chicago. Despite the fact that the Chicago Tribune ignored his visit, Vice President Wallace attracted the second largest crowd in the history of the Chicago Stadium. His next speech, late this month, will be at Cleveland, Ohio. Washington. The Post Office Department, which has done nothing to stop the indicted publications charged with subversive activities, will attempt to stop the mailing privileges of Esquire magazine, one of the most patriotic magazines of them all. Attention editors in New England. A well-known congressman is expected to be indicted by the Washington Federal Grand Jury any day. Alleged mail fraud. Detroit, Michigan. Additional arrests by the FBI in the Big Spy case will be announced by John Edgar Hoover perhaps next week. New York City. The 80th victim of the Congressional Limited wreck last week died today. His name is Irving Ginsburg, a 17-year-old American of New York City. Philadelphia. The big fire at the Broad Street station today was finally brought under control after a four-hour struggle. It was the second disaster suffered by the Pennsylvania Railroad in the very same week. Over 100 persons were injured. Behind the international front, London. Hitler's reserves are committed to the last man, meaning that he will be completely unable to counterattack on the Russian front. Hitler's full strength must be used to establish a battle line in southern Europe. London experts believe that Hitler's task is an impossible one, and that spectacular events, including German collapse, are a distinct possibility in 1943. Washington, however, is less optimistic. The capital nevertheless thinks that 1944 will prove too much for the Nazis. Ankara. Hungary, Romania, and Bulgaria need assurances only of an invading Allied army to desert Adolf Hitler. Rio. The reports persist that Argentina is approaching a crisis, this time of Butte. Bern, Switzerland. There is considerable support here for the belief that General Eisenhower intends to recognize Marshal Badoglio and the King as military governors until the end of the Nazi regime in Germany. Alexandria. As Italy was lost by the Battle of Africa, Japan may have lost the war by the Battle of the Mediterranean. With the Italian fleet no longer a factor, the British Mediterranean fleet can now devote its attention to the Indian Ocean against a Japanese fleet which already refuses to accept battle with our Navy in the Pacific. Attention editors in Boston, Massachusetts. George Curtis Bruce, an American newspaper man who has been broadcasting in Japan, is dead. The report is not confirmed, of course. Mr. Bruce, who refused a chance to come home from Japan, was managing editor of the Shanghai Evening Star. Attention, Mr. and Mrs. United States. The big guns which opened the gates of Italy also opened an American military secret. For a long time, our leadership endured insult because of its strategy and abuse for its tactics. Our leadership, ladies and gentlemen, endured the insults because it had to. The only way it could keep faith with our armies in the field was to keep silence at home. During the time of the greatest abuse, 3,000 blacked-out ships with 750,000 Americans on board crept up on a continent. If our leaders at home had offered one word of defense of this strategy, they would have imperiled not only the Army and the Navy, but the success of the war. However, the hecklers and the critics over here have been answered, not by any defense against their charges, but by successful attack against the enemy. General Eisenhower has stated that valuable lessons were learned in Tunisia. It is time that valuable lessons were learned over here in America. Under our Constitution, every nightclub commando and every Pullman car diplomat is entitled to his own opinion, but he is not entitled to share any military secret without which his opinion is sheer nonsense. Four major offensives are now in the same state of preparation that resulted in the African and Italian victories. And like the last campaign, there is less danger from the enemy over there than from the fools over here. New York. The book sections of the New York Times and Herald Tribune today, Sunday, confirm what this newsboy knew all along, that the number one bestseller in nearly every leading city in the United States is undercover. Mr. Gannett is choking, I think. A reporter's report to the people, at least 30 million of them. New York City. Four railroad wrecks in the very same week may be a coincidence. And the alert FBI has announced that it detects no sabotage. But I wonder, as you probably do. I say I wonder because I have come across a most enlightening passage in Alan Hynes' exciting book about spies. The title of that book, ladies and gentlemen, Passport to Treason. On pages 26 and 27 of the exciting Passport to Treason, the author quotes a Dr. Gassner, described as a Gestapo agent. Mr. Hynes states that William Siebold, a spy caught by the G-Men, who turned counter-espionage agent, was told this by Gassner, the Gestapo agent. Quotes, "When the time comes, orders will go out to more than 100,000 loyal Germans in the United States to perform specific duties. There will be many railroad accidents that nobody will be able to account for." End quotes. Washington. One of the favorite clay pigeons of the monkey wrench tribe is Lend-Lease. They scream shouts of anguish about the way Lend-Lease is depriving Americans of everything. Although our nation still enjoys the highest standard of living in the whole world. Most of the obstructionists and the divisionists blame the meat shortage on Lend-Lease. But what are the facts? Ladies and gentlemen, the president's latest Lend-Lease report to Congress reveals that 1% of our beef supply went to the Allies. An amount equivalent to two-tenths of an ounce per week for each person in the United States. And here is the irony of it. We have a food shortage because more Americans than ever can now afford to eat. New York City. His Honor, the Mayor of New York, and others are concerned about the boys and girls who have been making soft money during their summer holiday from high school. It is feared that many of these teenage students will not return to school tomorrow and will keep working instead of learning how to count up to 10. The defense plants and the cafeterias do not want these boys and girls. Parents who encourage them to quit school to make an extra few dollars are guilty of raising imbeciles. When this war is over, there will be a great demand for skilled trades and for those with an educational background for office work. Please, please do not permit your children to neglect school for work. We have enough morons and illiterates as it is, with too many of them winding up in the audiences who listen to the bunk of Gerald L. K. 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 Ladies and gentlemen, the usual Jergens commercial is omitted tonight so that I may get something off my chest. Something I've wanted to tell Americans since the Treasury Department first went around the towns and the country on its knees begging people to buy bonds to help save their own liberty and lives. I think it is ridiculous that this government, to which we all owe so much, actually is forced to offer us patriotism at a profit. It is true, I know, that our soldiers, sailors, and Marines could not fight without your dollars. But believe me, your darling little dollar would not be worth one penny without them. You will hear 1,000 good reasons why these war bonds should be bought. But there isn't even one faintly reasonable excuse why they shouldn't be. I do not see why our government ought to promise us a profit in protecting our freedom and our lives, but it does. $4 for three, when any American ought to force our government to take what it needs to survive. If the enemy ever landed over here, he not only would take your money and your finery, but he very likely would hit you over the head with his rifle to remind you to pay him more respect, since he would have taken all your money. In this total war, there are many ways of being a patriot. Some Americans are sweating in the tropical swamps. Other Americans are chilled to the bone by the Arctic blasts. And many Americans are at peace, having paid with their lives in the clouds and on the sea. Tonight, ridiculous as it seems, I am requested by our government to tell you that you can be a patriot by merely drawing interest. Washington, D.C. The Treasury Department just telegraphed the following last-minute figures on the third war loan drive. In the first 3 days, the war bond sales total $1,802,000,000. This is enough money to run the war for about 6 days. The Swiss-Italian frontier. Reports from Italy reveal that when Italian soldiers heard of the armistice, many of them charged into Nazi troops with bayonets. Several Italian officers committed suicide rather than surrender to the Nazis. Moscow. Russian guerrillas striking behind the German lines near Bryansk today surprised a column of Germans and shot 600 of them to death in a small ravine. Washington. The G-men have started a nationwide hunt for another escaped German flyer. He fled from a Canadian internment camp on August the 8th and is still at large. His name is Eckert J. Brosig, B-R-O-S-I-G, 23, 5'8", weight 147. Speak some English. And that, ladies and gentlemen, winds up another Jergens Journal until next Sunday night at the very same time. Until then, and with lotions of love, I remain your New York correspondent, Walter Winchell, who knows we could have captured Mussolini in Rome weeks ago. But we didn't want to risk bombing the churches. Today, Mussolini and Rome are in the hands of the Nazis, whose specialty is bombing hospitals. Good night.
Maybe you haven't much time these days, or money either, for beauty care, but even so, you can give your face practically a treatment every day right at home. One lovely new cream, Jergens Face Cream, does the whole job. You use Jergens Face Cream as though it were four creams. Use it not only for cleansing and softening your skin, but for a marvelous powder base, too, and as a night cream, where even drab, dry skin is reconditioned amazingly soon to kissable, satin-smooth look of youth. Think of Jergens Face Cream as your one-cream beauty treatment and use it every day, 10 cents to $1.25 a jar. Next week, another edition of the Jergens Journal with Walter Winchell, and be sure to stay tuned to this station for the Chamber Music Society of Lower Basin Street with Igor Gorin as guest star, which follows immediately. This is Ben Grauer speaking.
This is the Blue Network,